I heard it was you. Those guys don't know just how thorough a plan can be. But now they're working for me. I heard it was you. Those guys can't see how lucky they are and how hungry they'd be if it wasn't for me.
Welcome to another Rat Hole Radio. I'm your host, Dan, and that was the first song there by a band called The Soft Drugs. Interesting name. And that tune was called Defending the Paint. I don't know if that's some kind of metaphor or what exactly that means, but maybe if someone knows, you can write in and tell me. But it's actually kind of links into last week, because I played a song by T.W. Walsh last week, and he's a member of that band, so... He might recognise the voice on that, so that's how that links in. It's from their 2006 EP called In Moderation, which I believe, well, someone told me, at least someone who suggested it, told me that it was released under Creative Commons, but I haven't confirmed that yet. You can certainly download the EP with all six songs on it from their website for free, and there'll be links in the show notes at ratholeradio.org if you want to download those. Now, I should make a bit of a correction, actually, because last week when I played that T.W. Walsh track, I said it was a friend of mine, Ian, who'd recommended it to me. Turns out it wasn't him, although he did send me a recommendation. That wasn't it. I got an email off him saying thanks for the mention, but that wasn't me. So in the interest of fairness, I don't want to upset the person who did recommend it. So that was actually recommended by Nathan Smith. So thanks to Nathan for that. And I should also have mentioned, actually, last time, seeing as we're cleaning up leftover business from last time, I should also have mentioned Matt Molyneux and Stephen Ward, who, big thanks to you guys, who sent me recommendations for other tracks for last week. I'm always open to recommendations and you know, demos, anything you want if you're in a band. You can always send those to show, S-H-O-W, at ratholeradio.org, or just go to the website, ratholeradio.org. radio.org. I'll get it out somehow. And you can send me a message through there. So, welcome along, everyone. This is the third show. It's going to be a bit of a different one this time. I suppose I should confess, really. I suppose it's cards on the table time. Usually, as you'll probably know if you've listened to the other two shows, I usually do this live on a Sunday night, every other Sunday at 9 o'clock. But I'm actually kind of cheating this time because I'm actually not here. I'm away in Germany, so I couldn't actually do the show live. So what I've done is I've pre-recorded it. So essentially, you could almost think of this as the longest answerphone message ever. Or longest answer phone greeting ever. At the end of the show, you'll probably hear a little beep, and then you can leave your message then. So in the absence of me actually being here, I'm gonna play you some songs, and I've got plenty of stuff. And we've actually, as I said, this is going to be a different show, not only for that reason, but also because we've got our first ever guests. We're having guests, so, put the kettle on, go and make yourselves presentable, and we'll have some guests later on in the shape of Professor Click and his manager as well, Dan, another guy called Dan, so that could get confusing, who are going to come on and have a chat, and we'll play a couple of his tracks, and, you know, he can tell us a bit about them and find out, you know, all about him, essentially, and how he does his stuff. So that'll be fun. I'm going to play another track now by a band called Cabbage. That's Cabbage spelt with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, I should say. I'd never make it on Countdown, would I? My terrible spelling skills. And this is a bit of kind of drum and bass almost. And I can imagine, I can see it might divide the congregation a little bit here. Some people are probably going to hate it. And I've got a drum and bass, I have to confess, is a genre or a style that I've still got quite a strange relationship with. But originally, I mean, when everybody else was going mad about drum and bass, when Ronnie Size won the Mercury Music Prize all those years ago. Ronnie Size and Represent, and of course there were loads of great drum and bass acts around at the time, and people going mad on it. I've got to confess, I didn't get it. I listened to it, I just couldn't get it. I didn't see why people liked it. It sounded like incredibly speeded up break beats or hip hop beats with lots of low sub bass on it and analog synths and stuff, and yeah, I just didn't get it. But since then, I had a bit of an epiphany a few years ago when someone gave me a CD by Adam F and DJ Fresh, I think it was, which was obviously a drum and bass thing. And I put it on, and I think it was in the car or something like that, or I was doing something anyway, and I put it on, and I listened to about four or five tracks, and it was quite hard, quite heavy drum and bass, and I just stood there and I thought, this is brilliant. I don't know why it suddenly came to me then that it was brilliant, but I don't know, maybe the penny finally dropped, the one that everyone else had got 10 years earlier. So anyway, I'll quit waffling on, and I'll play this track now. So this is Cabbage with a track called Breakfast, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Yeah, that was Cabbage with Breakfast, a song called Breakfast. That's it's a pretty nice tune. I like that. It's a bit of drum and bass for you. So that's the first time I played drum and bass on the show. So probably not the last either. So you better get used to that. But a nice little track there. That's off their 2008 album called Patchwork Soup. And it's a really cool album. You know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. It's not all drum and bass. There's a lot of stuff like electro stuff on there, and even some kind of funky, almost hip hop type stuff. Well worth a listen, I would say. You can get it on Jumendo. I actually got that from Jumendo. It's free to download. The links will be in the show notes. Don't forget, you can go to ratholeradio.org and get a full track listing and all kinds of extra information about the tracks that I play and where you can find them and all that kind of stuff. So you can all go there and get that. Download it for free. Good stuff. So. In the background here, you can hear a little bit of music there going on in the background. This is a track which I'm going to play for you now. It's quite a long track, and it's by a band called Revolution Void, who I also found on Jumendo. You may be noticing a pattern here. I find a lot of bands on Jumendo. I really recommend it. It's a great service. But they're I don't know how you'd describe them. They're kind of like a jazz band, but almost a breakbeat jazz band. They play like a lot of big beats and stuff, and they're very interesting actually. And lots of nice saxophone stuff going on, and some big breakbeats in the background. It's kind of different. I like it. I think you'll probably like it too. And the first appearance of jazz on the show as well. Which, I mean, I said I had a strange relationship with drum and bass. It's been a kind of on and off relationship. I think it's the same for jazz. I mean, I love lots of jazz, classic jazz stuff. But the real kind of experimental jazz, you know, the really crazy stuff, I just can't quite get my head around it. But this is nice. I think you'll enjoy this. So I hope you like it. That's Revolution Void there from their 2004 album, Increase the Dosage. And that track was called Head Phonetic. I hope you enjoyed that one. It's that jazz kind of makes me want to talk like all, you know, talk low like this and nice, yeah. Good track though, I enjoyed that a lot. So I might play some more of that in the future. As I said, I have a strange relationship with jazz. I mean, I like some of it, but it's kind of, I'm very selective about it. It's got to be the right kind of jazz, otherwise I can't handle it. But yeah, the good stuff, that I like that. Lots of nice beats in there and stuff. Great band. So as I said, 2004 that album came out. So it's quite old now, about 5 years old. But it's on Jumendo. You can find it on there. You can find links at ratholeradio.org if you want to download the album. It's there for free. Go and get it. It's all Creative Commons, you know. So that's the point of the show. Share the music, share the culture and all that kind of stuff. All in, you know, hopefully we'll discover some great new music together. So I'm getting ready. Our guests are going to be on in a minute. Professor Click and Dan Costales, his manager, they're going to be on after this. But I thought I'd change the pace a little bit because we're going to be playing some kind of electronic music. And there's been a fair bit of electronic music this week. So obviously with Professor Click, we're going to be playing some of his tracks and talking about them. So as a kind of antidote to that, or a juxtaposition, I suppose, if that's an appropriate use of the word, I think I'm going to play some rock music now, just to lead us into that before they arrive. And it's from a band called Convey, and they're a pretty cool band, actually. I was tipped off to these by Tim from Manchester Free Software and all that kind of stuff. So thanks to Tim for that. As I said, if you've got any recommendations, if you play music or anything like that, I've said this a lot tonight, but I'm going to keep hammering the point. If you want to send me anything, please do. I want to hear it. And if I think it's good, I'll play it. So send your emails to show, S-H-O-W, at ratholeradio.org. And I look forward to hearing from you. So this is Convey with a track called Chalkboard. And it's got a bit of a big, nice, meaty riff in it. So I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll be back with Professor Click after this.
Softly peeling from the sun. All they need to fight for this cause is a freshly emptied mind and a gun. Hearts of coal and tongues of ice, your twisted little training has begun. All they need to fight for this cause is a freshly emptied mind and a gun.
Your world is my chalkboard, little devil.
Right, now on the show, I'm very pleased to announce we've got our first ever guest, or should I say guests, because it's plural. We've got Professor Click, otherwise known as Mike, who I'm assured I can call him Mike and not Professor. I've asked him about that. And we've also got Dan, who's his manager, who I have to say, this is going to get confusing because we've got a lot of Dans in here. So I think we should take numbers or something. Or, I don't know. We'll have to work out some scheme so we know who's talking to who. But I'm sure we'll work something out. So how you doing, fellas?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
So you guys are in Chicago. How's the weather today in Chicago?
It's a little gloomy today. Still relatively bright. Real nice out, though. I took the subway here and had a nice little walk, so yeah.
All right, cool. First thing I was going to ask you is, how did you guys kind of meet? How did you get together? Because, Dan, you're obviously Mike's manager. So how did all that kind of happen? How did you guys get it together?
Funny story, I guess. A couple of years ago, I started dating this girl that I met at school, and
good friend of his,
still good friend of his, of course. One of our, like, probably like our third or fourth date, since she's such good friends with Dan, she like had to introduce me to him, and I kind of had to pass a test. I passed, I guess.
Okay.
You met my approval.
Yeah.
This test didn't involve being bundled into a van with a bag over your head or anything, did it?
Oh, no. Though I was worried that might be the case. I wasn't sure.
Right. I decided to forego the kidnapping after I met him. It wasn't needed.
Okay.
That relationship since ended, and we're still friends, of course. He became my manager through the whole thing. One day I came over to his place, and I brought him a CD just to, you know, show him that's what I did. I had not really distributed music online really at all. I mean, I'd send it to friends and stuff. I'd have like CDs or whatever that I'd make for people, but it wasn't really distributed online beyond like MySpace. And I gave Dan a CD, and just right away, things started happening. Made a real simple website, but it was perfect. It did everything we needed it to do. One day, he's like, "Hey, I put you up on this website called Jamendo." And I was like, "All right." Kind of.
What the hell's Jamendo?
Yeah, I just kind of figured it was just, you know, some other MySpace-like music website, whatever. I was so wrong. Holy crap, was I wrong. He put me up on Jamendo, puts me up on everything, shows me the whole thing as far as the internet's concerned, and everything I learn about that. Creative Commons told me about that.
Mm.
Yeah, he's my window to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much just started as, hey Dan, I've got a CD for you, you should listen to this.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then I had a few people over. We had a little dance party. I was hooked. I fell in love with his music and just basically decided I want this guy to be everywhere and doing what we can to do that ever since.
That's good. So how do you think using the internet has helped you then? Because obviously you mentioned Jamendo and the whole Creative Commons thing. How does that work in? Is Creative Commons an important thing to you? Being able to, you know, spread the music and share it and stuff?
It is now. I mean, I'll be honest, when I first put his music up online, I pretty much had no idea anything about Creative Commons. I found this website, Jamendo, and I said, you know what, this should be good. You know, he wants to give his music away. He wants everybody to hear it. So let's put it up here and see what happens. And, you know, searching through that site, found a bunch of other artists that were doing the same thing. Started, you know, finding out more and more about Creative Commons and what it means and what it means for artists and for fans and for people who want to listen. And, you know, just as time has gone on, yeah, Creative Commons has become just more and more important. It's great. It's wonderful for everybody.
Cool.
It's vital. It's why it is the life's blood. It's why we're talking. So.
Yeah, well, in fact, it is, because I can say, I mean, the first time I came across your music was on Jamendo, as I think I was listening to, they have tracks of the week or something like, I don't know exactly what it was, but one of these things where they pick a selection of tracks. And one of the tracks was a track from Guns Blazing, I think it was. And when it came on, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And then I went off to look at the album and all kind of snowballed from there, I suppose. So it's really good exposure to be able to link into that community, I think, and use their promotional tools and stuff. And also remixes as well. Have you had anyone doing remixes or anything of your stuff through the Creative Commons licenses?
We tried that a little bit. Up on my website, Dan put up a little remix area where there's tracks. There's all the tracks for two songs. One of them is just like that piano track, Ambition, and then the other is Plastic and Flashing Lights, and
which is my favorite.
Yeah, that's probably a good one to give folks. There is a small Professor Click remix available. There's a guy that we know who is from Illinois. Mm. He's got a website called Nodes FM. It's also like a Creative Commons music distribution website. It's really well put together, and got to know him. He put all my stuff up on there, and he got really excited when we had the remix stuff available. So, yeah, if you go to Nodes, N-O-D-E-E-S, .fm, you look for Eric Nomich, N-O-M-I-T-C-H, and he's got, it's called a Purple Click, and it's pretty cool.
He's done a couple of mixes and mashups. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's two that he did of Professor Click, and yeah, more so than the remixes though. We've seen a lot of videos that people have done.
Yeah.
Tons of videos.
Yeah.
You know, every couple of weeks I'll just hop on the internet and do a search, and I'll find a new video that I had never seen before or heard of this person before, and it'll be a fantastic video of one of his songs, and it's just, I mean, I'm sure it's an honor to him.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. A guy named Harold Walker, who was at the Cologne Commons Festival, he took some pictures there. He did a video for Trip Home, which is on the last album, and I was really, really, really impressed. Like, it's really good, and it totally fits the song, and it's great to be able to see that people are eating it up and not only enjoying it, but creative people feel like they can incorporate this into their passion, and that's a huge pat on the back. Like, there's no amount of money that can replace that. That feeling is really incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I actually watched that video today, and I thought it was really amazingly done, you know, with the trains and the looking through the window of the train and all that kind of stuff. It reminded me a bit of something you might see in, I don't know, like a DJ Shadow video or maybe Brain Freeze or something like that. It kind of gave that vibe, which was cool.
Yeah, that's what I was going for with the song, actually. So,
oh, well, there you go, then. And we didn't rehearse this beforehand, just for everyone listening.
No,
that was purely coincidental.
I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, it's not prompting me to say that. No, good stuff. So one thing I should ask you is, since we're talking about other artists, who are your main kind of influences, then? Who do you listen to, and is there anyone you try and emulate or anything like that?
Yeah, all it is emulation. I think that kind of rings true for just about everybody. I mean, you got to hear something in order to get that idea, like, hey, I want to do this. You mentioned DJ Shadow. That was a big one. Way back, like, you know, probably 6-7 years ago, I found out about the DJ Shadow. DJ Crush, DJ Cam, huge into The Prodigy. I own every single Chemical Brothers album, Fatboy Slim. And then some of the new, some of the newer French electro acts have really been starting to pique my interest, like Kavinsky and Sebastian, Justice, of course. There's plenty of great stuff out there.
This could probably go on for a couple of hours.
Oh yeah, I mean, how much time you got?
Like, yeah. Well, one thing I picked up was probably when I first heard some of the tracks on Guns Blazing, I had a bit of a flash to something like Propeller Heads. I don't know if you've listened to Propeller Heads.
Yeah,
there was a couple of tracks on there. I thought, this is a bit like Propeller Heads. This is cool. And maybe some of the more industrial ones are a bit like Crystal Method or something like that, perhaps.
Yeah, definitely. Crystal Method's actually one of my favorites from when I was a kid. My mom actually got me into Crystal Method.
That's pretty cool.
She got me into Crystal Method and Prodigy.
Wow.
So,
good stuff.
And a few more too, like some 80s pop acts. Like when I was a little kid, she used to bump some like Dead or Alive and Yaz, stuff. So I mean, it was really cool. And then my favorite label of all time, I always have to say this, Ninja Tune. Hears this, I really, that's like my goal. That's, if I am on Ninja Tune, I have beat the game. I'm done, a great
label
to me. So
yeah, and I noticed you mentioned Warp Records as well. I mean, they're obviously they're quite big over here in Bristol and a few other places in the UK. A lot of artists like Aphex Twin and people like that, and they're probably another one that you could look at, maybe, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. I actually have a jacket with the Aphex Twin logo spray painted back of it.
Cool.
huge Aphex Twin fan, Square Pusher, Boards of Canada, Luke Viber, all those guys.
Sounds good. Well, I think we should play a track and then come back and have a little bit of a chat. But the track we're going to play is one you've picked called Ambition. So anything you want to tell us about this before I play it? Where it came from, or you know, what kind of influenced you?
That track is actually, it's a song that I'm like playing to my wishes of getting this out there and doing what I want. Like if there was a girl that was my ambition, this is the track for her.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Well, I think we should have a quick listen to that then, and then we'll be back in a minute.
All right, sounds great.
Stuff. So that's Professor Click there with Ambition, and the guys are still with me here now. So was that you playing the piano on that? I have to ask, because some nice piano playing going on there.
Well, thank you. That is me, 100%. Those sounds of the cars passing were recorded at the gas station that I used to work at. I worked at a gas station for about 4 years at a car wash too, and on days that it was slow, between like 5 and 7 o'clock at night, it would just be totally dead. I'd be sitting in the back, and I'd be hearing traffic passing on 53, and I'd just sit there and get lost and just thinking and daydreaming about stuff. And so I figured, you know, I should record that, because that's a sound that means a lot to me, because I've spent so much time just, you know, in this like meditative, just sitting there and thinking about stuff. And sometimes, like, I'll get real bummed out and wonder if you know, if this is all for nothing, and you know, if what am I even doing, and what have you? But there's always that like little part in you that like wants to cheer up that side, you know. So I came home and queued up a piano patch and hit record and just played that in one take. I was feeling particularly melancholy, as I'm sure you can tell.
And, yeah, it's got a bit of a bluesy feel to the piano licks there, I noticed.
That kind of getting it out, that's how I make just about everything. It's just all just capturing different moods and things that affect me and what have you, which is why I did so much field recording. Because, I mean, when you're a musician, you start to listen to, like, everything. Like, everything kind of becomes your instrument, especially, like, an electronic music.
Yeah.
So that's why I got the H4, and that's why I started recording everything. And that was the basis of pretty much the last album, was just a day in the life of Mike Ellis and, you know, what affects him and just...
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, actually, some kind of music geek questions, being a bit of a muser myself. So what kind of stuff do you use when you're recording then? I think you mentioned mostly using patches on a computer. Is that all, like, computer stuff? Is that what you do mostly, or do you use outboard gear as well, or how does it work?
As far as like playing, performing, sequencing, anything that isn't like ambient sound, like recorded, like field sound, stuff like that, just about is drum samples that I'll find. My roommate is a DJ, and so he's got so much vinyl and so many breaks, and he'll show me a lot of stuff. He showed me the break for Plastic and Flashing Lights, that opening break. Which is why I had him cut it up on the album for me, so that I could, you know, kind of give him a pat on the back for that one. But other than that, it's all internal, all on my little Toshiba PC laptop.
Sega Genesis laptop.
It is a Sega. It looks like a Sega Genesis, which really attracts me to it. For the longest time, when I was in like middle school, like sixth grade, a friend of mine gave me a copy of Acid 1.0. I think it might have been before they even had like Acid Pro. I think there was like just one program and that was it. And I started using that and was making music on that when we first got a PC, and I had my little Pentium 2 Dell was white. That's how long ago that was. just kept following the Acid series. I used that. Like, I was using just loops and stuff initially just to, you know, mess around and figure out how it worked. And then I got a copy of Rebirth 1 year for Christmas. Started using that. And then I found out about Fruity Loops and started using that. And that made up my first two albums. The only outboard gear I think I've ever really used was, I've got a Moog Rogue sitting in my room. It's dusty, it doesn't work anymore, really. It's not really functional. I need to get it, like, fixed. But my brother gave that to me because he didn't know how to use it. He thought it was broken because it only played one note at a time.
He's a demanding user, then, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, and that using that piece of equipment, actually, that little synthesizer taught me everything I know about analog modeling and stuff. But now I use Reason. Pretty dominantly, I'll rewire that into Acid.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just encode loops and stuff because it's nice to work in Acid with like straight audio files, because you get to cut it up in ways that you couldn't if it was just like being rendered in real time. FL Studio, that's exactly how I use it. My best sequenced riffs come from FL Studio. The piano roll in FL Studio is unbeaten by anything I've ever seen before. The way you can articulate and compose so crazy in there is just fantastic. And even in finding Reason and how powerful that is, I still think that FL Studio kind of takes the cake as far as that's concerned. But and then I'll use SoundForge for editing and mastering. I'll use Recycle for cutting samples to use in Reason. And I use Reason exclusively live right now. To play patches and stuff, I'll queue up different instruments on different channels on different pieces of MIDI equipment. I've got three pieces of MIDI equipment up there with me at all times. I've got an Axiom 61, an Axiom 25, and a Core Pad Control on my PC. That's about to change, though, because probably next week I'm going to pick up Akai just came out with this piece called the APC40, and it's the live controller for Ableton Live. So
yeah, I was going to ask about Ableton. I was going to say, do you use that? Because that's really popular, I know, with producers like the Dust Brothers and a lot of those kind of guys. I know they really love Ableton, but I've never quite got to grips with it myself.
I do have it. It's really, really powerful, and it is so meant for like live production. Like it is the closest thing I've ever seen to being able to manipulate the composition of a track, to be able to perform that rather than like just hitting samples or playing synth patches and stuff like that, which I'll still do. But to be able to, you know, tap out a tempo. I play with my roommate, the DJ, Mr. Thick, and any Professor Click show you ever see, he's up there with me. We kind of treat it like a DJ MC kind of thing, like a hip hop approach, but instead of me rapping, I'm just playing over the track and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A relatively simple situation we've got overall, but it's about to get a lot more complicated and hopefully a lot cooler.
Be a lot of fun.
Lots of fun, yeah.
Yeah. So is that something you've got into more recently, playing live? Because I saw some pictures of you with your lab coat on there on the website doing the live shows. That's a really great look. I think you should stick with that. Possibly some hazard goggles as well, or, you know, take
the
whole professor thing.
Yeah, he's got a full body jumpsuit that he'll wear sometimes. I've got a lab coat that doesn't fit me quite the way I wanted it to. It kind of looks like a pillowcase on me.
Well, maybe when you make it, you can get someone to tailor you a lab coat.
I would wear like a full length, sweet fitted, lab coat. That'd be cool. we've been playing shows ever since I moved downtown. Once I finished up at community college and I came out here to Columbia, my roommate and I, we got a place together, and we had been talking about doing shows. We had done one show a couple of months prior to us moving in October for the CD release party of Scientific Method Volume 2. And I called him up and was like, hey, I've got this place. I've got time. You want to come out and help me play? And he was like, sure. And we didn't practice at all because he showed up to the show from driving from Indiana.
Wow.
And we just kind of threw down and saw what happened, and it
worked.
It went okay. I mean, it could have gone a lot better, but we had a general idea as to how we were going to do it, and since then, we've been playing shows. We've played like 8 shows so far in the last 6 months, and each time, it's a little bit different. We're always trying to iron out like the right approach, and it's still in such a fetal stage that we kind of don't know what we're doing.
You get that with most live acts, as far as I've seen.
Yeah,
that's true.
Especially jazz acts. They make it up as they go along.
I mean, I don't know. It gets confusing at times, but sometimes like we'll just hit it, and there's still like since I'm just like playing, you know, an instrument ultimately, and he's got his tables, and there's a very organic way of just kind of pressing play, but cutting it out and stuff like that, like since it's all done by hand, there's a sense of musicianship there, which is something I really wanted to keep around, because that's my big complaint with electronic live acts. Like when I see someone just with like a laptop and a mixer, that kind of upsets me.
Or like when Square Pusher goes on stage and starts reading the newspaper and hits play.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. It's just, although, well, Square Pusher can get away with it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm not gonna shake a stick at that guy. But
he plays a pretty mean bass guitar as well.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he doesn't need to prove anything to me. but yeah, it's trying to redefine the terms as far as doing a live show with electronic music, and we're trying to keep it as raw and gritty and funky as possible, and keeping people dancing. And we drop the heaviest stuff, mostly from Guns Blaze and a couple tracks from Scientific Method, and then intermittently, we'll drop random funk tracks like by BT Express or Rose Royce or something like that, just to keep the people moving. So
I've got a quick question for Dan, seeing as I don't want you to feel too left out, but I was wanting to ask you, seeing as you're the manager in this situation, are you in a Colonel Tom Parker kind of thing? Have you got do you have a cowboy hat, or any plans for that in future?
I do have a cowboy hat.
Well, there you go.
I wear it almost every single day. I've had it for a couple of years, and there was a guy at the pub last night that wanted to buy my hat for $100.
Wow.
And I wouldn't sell it to him, but he ended up buying me drinks anyway, so that was a good time.
And he didn't steal your hat when he got you drunk.
He didn't steal my hat, no. But yeah, I ended up getting a few drinks out of it, and so that was fun. But I do have a cowboy hat, yeah. But other than that, I mean, I guess I'm not so much your typical manager, so to speak. I do what I can to get his music out there. And I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't really enjoy his music, which is, how we hooked up and how everything started. I mean, I'm really just an overexcited fan, if you break it down. But
yeah. But effectively does the job of a man. Like he didn't ask me if he could be my manager. He just started doing this, and I started calling him my manager.
Yeah,
like that's how that works. So.
Really great talking to you guys. A lot of fun. I've decided while we were chatting there, since you mentioned that Dan's favorite track is Plastic and Flashing Lights, we'll play that one to finish off, seeing as so you both kind of got a pick, if you like. So there's a bit, you feel a bit.
Enjoy.
Yeah. So if you ever want to come over to the UK, you know, do some shows over here, that'd be brilliant. And let us know if you're coming over here. We'd love to speak to you again. Best of luck with everything in future. I think you got a big future. I think there's going to be some good things happening. I don't think you need to worry about that. So we should finish off with this. So I reckon we should get you, Mike, to introduce this track, since it's your track. So do you want to say, do you want to introduce the track, and then I'll kick it off?
Sure. I would just like to say, though, it is definitely in the plans for me to cross the pond and get over to the UK, France, Germany, because that's where the following is.
Yeah, Germany's big electro country as well. Germany's huge, and France, obviously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I was born at the right time, but in the wrong place. I get the feeling sometimes. So, yeah, I will see you soon.
Cool.
I promise. I'm going to make it over there. I really need to. With that being said, Plastic and Flashing Lights, that was about a 4 or 5 month endeavor. You know, would start it up and leave it alone for a little bit, get back to it. I don't know. It just, it was at a time... I started making that track at a time where I was finishing up at community college, and I knew like what was going to happen with moving out and going to school, and really kind of embodies that feeling. It was a really heavily layered track, lots of stuff going on, lots of remastering samples and loops and stuff like that. And then lots of sequencing, did a lot of playing by hand. It's a pretty good example of everything I do altogether, with the exception of field recording. Although that sample that you hear at the beginning, that was actually recorded through the H4. So
cool.
So yeah, that's Plastic and Flashing Lights, and it's been a big fan favorite, which I'm glad. We always drop it live at shows, and it's one of my favorites to play because it's not too fast.
That always helps, especially if you're warming up for a show or something. You want to ease yourself in, don't you?
Yeah.
Sounds good. So let's have a listen to that then. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. Have a nice evening. We'll be right back. That's Professor Click with Plastic and Flashing Lights. Big thanks to Dan and Mike, aka Professor Click, for joining us tonight. I had great fun, great talking to those guys. Nice guys. I wish them all the best in the future. I'm sure we'll hear from them again. So moving on then, it's probably time I should think about wrapping it up. It's been a different show tonight. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot. So I wanted to kind of talk to you before we leave about a news story that, well, as I'm recording this, came out today about a woman in America who's been fined $1.9 million for file sharing. Now, you know, you might think, oh, well, that's reasonable. She might have been, I don't know, running some huge pirate network or something. But it turns out that she's actually convicted of sharing 24 songs. That's not 240,000. It's not even 240. That's 24 songs, and apparently a fair amount of money to be fined for that is $1.9 million. Now, all right, everyone knows my position on this kind of thing, but I mean, I think even the most staunch copyright defender and you know, defender of the traditional music industry would have to say, how the hell can that be right? $1.9 million. I'll put a link in the show notes. There was a write-up on the BBC News website which you can check out. So if you head to the show notes at ratholeradio.org, you can find out the details there. So anyway, let's hope the likes of Lars Ulrich and Britney Spears and all that obviously need that $1.9 million a lot more than this mother of four from America. So yeah, moving on. So thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me. It was a lot of fun, and I'm going to finish with a song in light of that news story. Which, if you have a sensitive, I don't know, sensitive nature, and you're easily offended by swearing and stuff, I advise you to turn off now because this song is just full of it. a song that I wasn't actually going to play, but I hadn't planned to play it, but then I saw this story, news story, and I thought I've got to play this. So I'm going to finish off with a song by a band called Futuristic Sex Robots, and it's a bit of kind of nerdcore rap. If you haven't heard about nerdcore, I only discovered it relatively recently, about a year ago, when somebody told me about it. It's essentially it's like geeks doing gangster rap, and it sounds like it wouldn't work, but believe me, a lot of it does. There's some really good nerdcore stuff out there, and this song's called Fuck the MPAA, and yeah, I think that's a sentiment I can get behind right now. So I hope you enjoy this. Don't forget the next live show. Next time I'll actually get a chance to do this show live will be Sunday the 12th of July at 9 p.m. If you go to ratholeradio.org/live, you can find it there. That's 9 p.m. UK time, I should say. That typical British person, I only ever think about what time it is here. But if you're in other parts of the world, that's 9 p.m. UK time, so I'm afraid you'll have to work out when that is for you. But hopefully, I hope it's a decent time and you can join me. So enjoy this tune, and I'll catch you in 2 weeks. Take care, everyone. See you later.
Underground, a young pirate got a bag cause I'm down. Loading DVDs like a motherfucker bean. Bring my camera to the movies and I put on my BT. Back on my stolen content up on DVD ROMs. Cause my tips from piracy since I dropped at my mom's. And just because I share my MP3s, they got the government coming after me. Instead of suing kids, why don't you step on up and release a couple albums that don't completely suck. Stop putting DRM on the audio CDs. That don't make it any harder to steal your MP3s. If I want your shit for free, I ain't gonna have to pay. And all your bullshit is why the fuck I say, hack the Gibson, hack the Gibson. I'm seeing BitTorrents like a digital pimp, son.
Fuck the MPAA, fuck the RIAA, fuck the SUFA and the PSA, and fuck them all for the DMCA. Fuck the MPAA, fuck the RIAA, fuck the SUFA and the PSA, and fuck them all for the DMCA.
Robot pirates, we get our shit for free. Parental advisory, you'll never fucking see. Been a couple years since I seen the FBI warning. Cut it out, cause that shit is mad boring. Y'all fucking dumber than the bitch from Bad Boys. Step to the bin and it's grandma's sex toys. I'ma just keep filling up my drives. The ones that disappear when the lawsuit arrives. All you fucking suits can suck my balls. And when you get done, you gonna make some calls. I better see some changes or it's time to fight. You ain't gonna manage my digital rights.
Fuck the MPAA, fuck the RIAA,
USA, and fuck them all for the DMCA. Fuck the MPAA, fuck the RIAA, fuck the suits behind the BSA, and fuck them all for the DMCA.
Remember when antitrust was the thing? Now you're set up for download and sting. Treating paying customers like criminals. Pens filled up with music nerd animals. Buying off senators left and right. My vote doesn't count in this fucking fight. With a 56K I had hundreds of songs. Drives partitioned like asses and thongs. Now it's gigs of illegal content. If I get caught, I'm joining the convent. What you heard, it's all a scam. If they answer door, burn them in a van.
Fuck the MPAA. Fuck the RIAA. Fuck the suits behind the BSA. And fuck them all for the DMCA. Fuck the MPAA. Fuck the RIAA. Fuck the suits behind the BSA. And fuck them all for the DMCA.
Man, let me tell you, the other day, RIA, they tried to kiss me, man. Then they turn around and try to fuck me in the ass. Those motherfuckers that sold us out like Judas did to Jesus for some little coins and shit. What the fuck?
They got dollar signs in the fucking eyes, with heads in between politicians' thighs. Fat checks endorsed by senators that lie, pulling fake dollar losses straight out of the sky. And I don't trust trusted computing. They don't just want it around to stop looting. The internet is the only place you're still free. If you disagree, just wait and see. You wanna lock down the web and throw away the key? Well, you better not touch my fucking technology. So back the fuck off, are you fucking dead? Yelling 1337 on a motherfucking fed.
MPAA, fuck the RIAA, fuck the suits behind the BSA, and fuck them all for the DMCA. Fuck the MPAA, fuck the RIAA, fuck the suits behind the BSA, and fuck them all for the DMCA.
Don't forget to leave a message after the tone. Thanks.